Oh, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. All right. In the word of the Lord, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. We usually look at this portion of Scripture in December and commemorate the coming of the Messiah and all of the miraculous signs that accompanied it, and then some of the drama that took place as well. I want us to turn to verse 7 and verse 8 of Matthew chapter 2. And recognize that it didn't all come out favorably. But let's read. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." We know that was not the intention of this corrupt king. Even though he identified the birthplace, Bethlehem, even though it says he sent them to Bethlehem, they were already going, they were following the star. Yet we know he wanted to eliminate instead of exalt. He wanted to do away with instead of declare the divine. That's what we call fake faith. Unfortunately, there's a pandemic of fake faith in our world today. Thank God for real faith. Praise God. And real results from that faith, because we know the one who is able to do the work greater than any other. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you so much. I'm thankful for the options of staying when we go on a trip. The last few years, we've been able to get a Airbnb so that we could be together with family. And the Glovers from Ketchikan come and camp out with us in an Airbnb. And most of the time, it's great, a wonderful experience. And then other times, there's a few shortcomings that are disappointing, especially with the price that you pay. But our fellowship is wonderful, and it's a great time to come together, and I'm thankful for that. I remember reading about a couple who were seeking a house to lease, and they had found one that they were excited about. And then all of a sudden, here's an ad for a house that cost less and yet had more space that they originally intended to lease. And so they inquired, and they found out it was a couple who were going on a mission, and they were looking for someone in the who is a Christian who could take care of the house for them in their absence. They wanted a Christian couple while they were helping out on this mission. And so the emails were exchanged. And this couple who was looking for a lease and excited about the possibilities of a bigger house for less of a lease got the email from the owners declaring, "We think you are the ones the Lord would have to take care of our house." So payment was arranged, but red flags began to go up when a different name, other than the supposed owner of the lease, was going to receive payment at a different address. And fortunately, they found out by checking the tax records and so on this is a scam. Can you imagine? That's fake faith in operation, isn't it? We think you are the couple that the Lord would have to take care of our house in our absence. Fakers. After the money that they would receive and would not be able to get a refund, that sort of thing. Well, I know in the motivation world and those that would encourage entrepreneurs and so on, there is a saying that you may have heard, fake it till you make it. And that might apply when you're trying to start a business, when you've got a startup, you know, they're called now in the computer realm a startup. And it might help in that area, but it doesn't work when you're walking with God. He doesn't want you to fake it till you make it. He wants you to have real faith. He wants you to be strong in your walk with the Lord. That may be a good admonition to keep going, you know, when things are a little bit rough, and they're definitely rough and tough today. It's sad to see so many businesses closing because of what we're experiencing now. But the scripture warns us about clouds without rain, trees without fruit. The scripture lets us know God is not pleased with that. God doesn't want that in our experience. And those clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, and trees without fruit are going to be uprooted and twice dead. That's not what we want in our experience. We want to continue in the things of the Lord. So here's Herod the hypocrite. Not Herod the king, Herod the hypocrite. He's heard word that there's a king that's been born. And these three, who are obviously knowledgeable and obviously of royalty, appear in his palace and his kingdom inquiring, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where we have seen his star, we've come to worship him." And that set things in motion that resulted in some drastic measures being taken by this corrupt king. The Bible says that Herod was troubled. He wasn't thrilled. He wasn't excited. He demanded word from the chief priests and scribes about the birthplace of Christ. Where is the Messiah going to be born? Of course, they came back with the report from the scroll of Micah, which we identified as chapter 5, verse 2. Bethlehem is his birthplace. And so a prophecy 7 centuries old is now coming to pass. And Herod, who called the wise men privily, you know, secretly, in private, "Go and find him and bring me word." Now, if he was really excited and desirous of worship, it wouldn't have been secretly and privately that he would summon them. It would be publicly. He'd be making the broadcast. He'd be sending it forth. Listen, these guys are saying the Messiah is born. They've seen a supernatural sign. They've seen how he has fulfilled this prophecy that is so old. We have it from the Word of God. That would be the result, or that would be the action that he should have taken if he was true in his desire to worship, if he had real faith. "Bring me word," he says to those wise men. He is ignoring the Word of God. He's not acting on what he heard the scribes and the chief priests declare, that Bethlehem is going to be his birthplace. He didn't receive that at all. He didn't act on it at all. He had consulted the Word of God, but he wanted the wise men to bring him word. And he told them, "Go and search diligently, that I may come and worship him also." He wouldn't respond to the Word of God. He wouldn't follow through on what the Word of the Lord said. We know he planned something way more sinister than worship. He was a king who could bear no competition. He was a king who wanted to hold on to his throne and his crown and not allow anyone else or anything else to be in charge. God, help us to always determine, Lord, you're the king in my life. Lord, you're the one who is going to be in charge. Amen. And not move into that realm where we're putting ourselves upon the throne. No. But in another sense, you've got to admit that Herod was diligent. He was thorough in what he was intending. He inquired of the wise men diligently, the Bible says. He sent them to diligently search. He diligently wanted deity to die. That was his intention. That was his goal. But thank the Lord, the wise men not only followed the star, they followed the Lord. And when the Lord gave them a dream to return home another way and not go back and report to Herod, that's exactly what they did. Thank God for people who are going to follow what the Lord says. Thank God for people who are going to obey what the word of the Lord says, no matter how old it is, no matter how irrelevant it may seem, no matter how old-fashioned it may appear. Thank God for people who are always going to obey the word of the Lord and have God do a work in their lives. Now, Herod was exceeding wroth when he found out what happened. Contrast that with the exceeding joy that the wise men had when they were following the star and when they followed the Lord and bowed down and worshiped him and presented their gifts. Exceeding wrath compared to exceeding great joy. I'm going to take what God gives. Amen. Herod's true intent, we know, was to do something drastic about this newborn king. He wanted to determine the time frame of the child's birth. And then he ordered all the male children in Bethlehem 2 years and under slaughtered. Great joy compared to great sorrow. That's a real direct and graphic contrast in what the Lord is able to give compared to what man is capable of doing. A lot of people would blame God for things, but this is man's doing. This was an insane king who didn't want any competition for his throne, bringing about this slaughter and giving reason for weeping. Oh, God, deliver us from fake faith. Amen. And to move into the realm of constantly having the faith that the Lord would have us to grab a hold of and hold on to. Judas walked with the Lord for those 3 years. Saw the same miracles that everybody else saw. Witnessed the same things that everybody else did. He was there to see the healings, to see the resurrections, to hear the truth, and all of these things that went on with all the 11 other disciples. He determined he was going to gain, but he lost. How can you gain and lose? Well, the satisfaction of the 30 pieces of silver that he got from those who would encourage him, bribe him to betray the Lord, didn't provide the satisfaction that he was looking for. He took them back to the temple. He cast them down at their feet. He declared, "I've betrayed innocent blood." And those that perhaps he thought were his friends, those that he thought perhaps were his colleagues, and together in this scheme, just shrugged their shoulders and said, "What's that to us? See thou to it." And we know his life ended in a tragic way, just weeks before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Just a few short weeks away, he could have received the power of the Holy Ghost. There could have been that rejoicing. There could have been that thrill. There could have been the recognition of what God desired for him. But instead, he ended up falling short. Oh, how we need to keep going. How we need to keep on. Amen. How we need to keep our faith real. How we need to anticipate the blessings of the Lord and the goodness that he wants to bring forth. Praise God. And to recognize what God is going to do is going to happen here as well. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira may have been part of the 3,000 or the 5,000 that believed. I don't know. The Bible says that there were devout men dwelling in Jerusalem from every nation under the earth. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost fell. Ananias and Sapphira may have been a part of those who gladly received the word and were baptized, like the Bible says. Thank God there are still people who will gladly receive the word if you tell them. There are still people who are hungry and thirsty and desiring the things of God. And if you share the word of the Lord with them, they'll be baptized. Amen. God help us to keep going. God help us to keep on. Praise God. The signs and wonders that the apostles did, and all that happened with the lame man who sat at the gate. Ananias and Sapphira probably knew him. But yet, how did they turn and decide on deception? It's puzzling, because this is revival of an extreme magnitude. This is incredible of what they were given witness to, what they experienced, what they were a part of. But yet, they sold their property like others who were doing and giving it to the apostles for revival, and they kept part. Now, nothing wrong with selling their property. Nothing wrong with keeping back part of it. And Peter told them that. It was your own. It was in your own power. But yet, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You see, what they'd done is they said, we sold our property for so much, and we're giving it all, when really they kept back part of it. And Peter confronted them. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? See, Satan likes to, you know, God fills with the Spirit. God said, I'm pour out your Spirit. God said, I'm going to on all flesh, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. But Satan wants to fill hearts as well with deceit, with greed. And that Peter asked them, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? You know, that implies a unity. But it's unity in the wrong direction, a wrong desire. And if we made agreed into two words, that's what was in their hearts, agreed. And it led them in the wrong way. Peter said, you've not lied to man. You've lied to God. And Ananias falls dead. Sapphira comes in later, not knowing what happened. She confirms the deceit, and she falls dead. What a sad, sad ending. See, faith is nothing to play with. It's nothing to it doesn't matter. But no, their deception brought death. What they kept wasn't worth what they lost, not even close. But they ended up losing it all. What they did in secret was revealed to everyone. Oh, God, help us. Amen. To continue on in the way that the Lord would have us to go and not get caught in a trap of materialism. Not get caught up in the things that, you know, I'm going to gain. What Jesus talked about laying up treasures in heaven. Praise God. And I'm thinking we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy those treasures. No, he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we won't even be able to contain it. Praise God. And that power is going to continue, and that blessing is going to be there for the hand of the Lord to be displayed. One writer said, beware of all enterprises that require new clothes and not a new wearer of clothes. The newness has got to be inside. Amen. Thank the Lord. God blesses us with a roof over our head and clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, and money to make payments and all of that. But the newness is inside. Amen. And that power of the Lord is what we want to hold on to. So it's not fake it till you make it. It's faith it. Then you'll make it. Praise God. And the power of the Lord will be there as well, because it, without faith, impossible to please God. But oh my, we can turn it into a positive statement. With faith, we can please God. He is pleased with your actions. He is pleased with your life. He is pleased with you stepping out in faith and believing what His Word declares. Hallelujah. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. The world wants to overcome you. The world wants to overcome the situations that you are desiring from the things of the Lord. And oh, thank God, faith overcomes the world. That's the word of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. And thank God, real faith keeps on going. It doesn't stop. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That's the same chapter that the story of Ananias and Sapphira was contained in. Oh, God, help us to emphasize what faith will do and to see what God will provide. Amen. They could have had real faith, but instead they went down the path of fake faith, false faith, and it made them miss out on what God had in store for them. Real faith gains and doesn't lose. I always remind myself of what Jim Elliot said, the missionary to a South American country. A man is no fool, he said, to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. And oh, how truthful that is. I want to get a hold of things that I'm never going to lose. Amen. And release the things that I can't keep anyway. Amen. And move into the realm where there's eternal blessing, where there's the blessing that God wants to give for all eternity. Hallelujah. And the blessings of the Lord would be there. New Year's resolutions may be long gone, but I'm going to keep the revival that God wants to give in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Keep on going. Keep on receiving. Hallelujah. Keep being faithful. Keep looking to our God. Keep calling upon His name. And know He will open those windows. Amen. And the blessings will be poured out in an amazing way. I'm thankful for the blessings of real faith. I'm thankful for the awesome answers that our God gives to us. I'm thankful for the wonderful works that He continues to perform. I'm thankful for the powerful presence of God moving into the realm where His people are worshiping Him and exalting Him. Thank the Lord. Not with the idea that, this is going to turn out good because I'm doing what God wants me to do, and there's going to be more in my bank. There's going to be more in here. I'm going to drive a better car and all. No, because the blessings of the Lord are real and powerful. And so when I go to minister's retreat, I see those who have been faithful for years, and I know God has never failed them. Hallelujah. And I'm reminded of the miracles. I'm reminded of the healings. I'm reminded of what God has done. Hallelujah. And oh, thank God, the Lord continues in His power, in His blessing. It's been 50 years since I came home from Bible school, and in those 50 years, my friend, I have never seen God give up on those people who desire Him. I've never seen faith that has been broken and lost because God has been faithful and God has continued and God has brought forth again and again and again. Hallelujah. And He's not going to stop now. It's not going to end now. Hallelujah. I'm going to hear of new miracles. I'm going to hear of new healing. I'm going to hear a greater revival. I'm going to hear more baptism, more Holy Ghost filled. God is doing a work that's not going to end. Praise God. So real faith keeps us together, working together. Real faith brings us closer together to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus kept it real. Yes, He did. In the face of all the opposition, in the face of all who opposed Him, in the face of those who would hang Him on a cross, He kept it real. Praise God. Amen. Yes, His birth was miraculous, but in a barn, in a stable, laid in a manger, instead of in a palace like Herod. Herod could have should have welcomed him. No. You're not going to. Bethlehem's too small. Come back to Jerusalem. I've got a place for you right here in the palace. That's what he should have been doing. But no, it didn't work out that way. In fact, they had to escape to Egypt to get away from the murderous intent of Herod. His death and his resurrection, that's keeping it real. Amen. Didn't matter the price. Didn't matter what he had to go through. Didn't matter the pain and the suffering. He was doing it for you. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord that's demonstrated again and again in his care and compassion for his church. When he said, I will build my church, it was not just blowing hot air. No. He's building it. Praise God. He's building it in Kodiak. He's building it in Nanvik. Praise God. He's building it in Anchorage, and a whole congregation comes to the truth. Oh, yes. That's my God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revival. Harvest. That's what the Lord desires, because it's souls. It's souls that he wants. Amen. And thank God. We go together, or we come together, real believers, real ministers. We worship in his presence. We're assured of his promises and his power. We're together with the people of God. Amen. They're real workers. One statement was made, God doesn't call lazy people. I thought about that man with the one talent, you know, the five gained five, two gained two, one. We know he was fearful. We know he was unambitious. Could we say he was lazy? And he didn't get out and do something with that one talent? No, it was far less than what the others received. But he should have done something with it. Amen. God help us move into the realm where he's going to bless the work that is done. Amen. And continue his hand upon real workers. When I fellowship with Brother Parrish, Brother Blackshear, and recognize their faithfulness through the years, I'm thankful for real workers, real faith. Praise God. And the power that the Lord is going to bring forth as we serve him. So let's keep that real faith, because that's going to take us to the heavenly realm. That's going to move us into the power and the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to see the hand of God displayed in revival like we've never seen. That's incredible, isn't it, to think about? We've seen some incredible moves of God and the power of the Lord, and how God moved and worked. And Sister Sharon was sharing how that when Brother Robinette came through several years back, you received the Holy Ghost? All right, and Kevin received the Holy Ghost? Praise God. And we had 10 receive the Holy Ghost right here. Hallelujah. Amen. And I think, Sister Becca, that was after we saw 10 receive the Holy Ghost in Venati. Can God do it again? Oh, yeah. Praise God. The Lord can do it. Let's keep that real faith going, because you know what's going to happen? You're going to make it to a real heaven. Hallelujah. You're going to rejoice with a real Savior. Amen. And real saints of God, loved ones that have gone on before, you're going to meet up with them again. And it's going to be so real. Not mythical or mystical or whatever that the world may laugh at and mock. Thank God it's going to be real, powerful, and wonderful. And what Herod should have done, I may come and worship him. Thank God, that's going to be reality for you and me. I'm going to go and worship him. Hallelujah. Throughout eternity, giving praise to his name, exalting him and lifting him up. Oh, hallelujah. Rejoicing with my mom who's made it over there. Rejoicing with my aunt. Thank God. With the Frenches, with Brother Carnley. Everybody, hallelujah, that we've said goodbye to, we're going to say an eternal hello. Hallelujah, in the power and the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Let's keep going. Let's stand now, please. How that determination needs to be there in our lives. Amen. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You know, love is a wonderful thing. You think about that that attraction. When you first met the one who is to become your spouse. And saw a bunch of young couples at retreat. That's what made me think about it. Stars in their eyes, and holding hands, and not getting too far away from each other, and all of that sort of thing. It's a wonderful thing. Yes. And thank God it grows, it increases. But you know what has to continue with that as well? Commitment.
Right.
Commitment. And it's the same thing with God. The love that we have for Him, we love Him because He first loved us. The display of His love in such an amazing way. He was committed to us. We know that. And oh God, let my commitment become even stronger. Let my commitment to you grow even to a dimension that is never going to be broken. It may be tested. It may be tried. It may be tempted. But let my commitment to you grow beyond everything. Amen. So that He's first. He's number one. Can you come and pray? Praise God. Praise God. There's so much fake in this world today. There's so much fake that's going on. You know, online, you could be talking to someone on, not talking, but communicating with someone online. You don't know who it is. They can put any picture on there. And there's been a lot of people burned by that. A lot of people lost their savings and so on because of fake pleas for, you know, help and charitable action and all of that sort of thing. We've got to make sure we're real with the Lord. Amen. Real with one another. Real in the church that God wants us to be in. Amen. Can we just reach out to Him now and call on His name?